107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. And remember, taking your nominations for 2019's Alabamian of the Year. Remember how this works, though. Okay, it's because get everybody. It's not just a popularity contest. It's that person, place, thing, event, group that has most influenced the news cycle here at home in Alabama in 2019. Now, we have suggestions coming from all quarters of Alabama and even outside Alabama. We put these together, your nomination. Unlike Time's Person of the Year, where they decided on their own, they had their editorial board and they do it, we let y'all bring up the nominations, and then Dalton, through his high-tech cat typing on a computer thing, puts them in brackets.
I'm like the college football playoff committee, if the committee were made of one person.
That's right. Yes. It's exactly the same.
Sounds like you're doing the same thing that Time Magazine did, though, right?
What we do is, no, actually, we let people vote. So this is our third year. And so when we seed the brackets, the 32, then because we did nomination goes through, I know you want to get done, so it's through Saturday. Cutoff is Saturday for the nominations. Then the bracket, first bracket will come out on Monday, and folks vote and winnow it down, and then we have another bracket, then we, you know, start working, and folks voted the whole way through.
After you ever get any crazy ones like Donald Duck?
Oh, yeah, but we, okay, some of
Mickey
them
Mouse.
That are...
Well, who's going to be tough to beat this year is the meth squirrel from Athens, Alabama. I don't know, Robert,
yes,
if you remember
I know
that story.
I remember the meth squirrel.
It has many, many entries. Of course, that's the voice of Robert Kennedy Jr. at Kennedy for Alabama in studio. Yeah, so we do this. I do... throw out, I'll say I am an arbiter. If something's Donald Duck or something like that, I throw it out.
Okay.
If it's not relevant to Alabama, I throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's relevant to Alabama, even if I don't agree with it, we put it in.
Right.
This is the folks seed the brackets, and the folks voted down. Like last year, the last two.
Mm-hmm. High Steppin' Turkeys.
And Jeff Sessions. Guess who won?
High Steppin' Turkeys.
So I'm just, does that show you I have lost institutional control of this, but I still love to do it. So 2019 Alabamian of the Year. When you send us a text with your suggestion to 343-0106, put something in the line, Alabamian of the Year nomination or something, that helps us kind of sort through stuff. And if you send us an email, do the same thing. It helps us get all your nominations in the mix. All right, it's been a couple weeks here.
I was gone.
I didn't get to visit with you. So a lot to talk about. I do want to talk specifically, I know this is a tough subject, you as a sailor, a member of the Navy, and what happened at NAS Pensacola is a story that's, you know, a national story, but so huge right here at home. Such a big part of, so many connections to lives. Heck, 7,500 civilians work at NAS Pensacola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing thinking about, we've talked about this a lot when it comes to things like Veterans Day, and we talk about the people in uniform and how much attention we have a tendency to get, but there are a lot of Department of Defense and U.S. government civilians who make it possible for us to do what we're doing, especially at a training command like Naval Air Station Pensacola.
I just didn't realize it was so big in number of people. So that situation and that happened on Friday, a week ago tomorrow, and a murder spree, and you had a Saudi national member of their Air Force training here at NAS Pensacola, which is nothing new. People have been shocked about this, but this has been going on. I've had people call me, say, hey, I was in command of that thing back in the 90s.
Monday episode, one of the judges.
Yeah. Jim Patterson. Yeah, he said he was there in the 90s doing the same thing. So we've been doing this for a while. The Saudis, I've expressed my opinion on it, but they are one of our allies.
Those opinions of yours are well documented.
So they are an ally and probably a pretty darn good market for munitions and aircraft and all those things. So they train here. What do we do? Do we continue this program of training our allies, pilots and fighters of any sort, or do we change from the inside as somebody who's in the they've served our country? What do you think?
So I think we need to decouple it from the emotion and just kind of look at the whole situation rationally. So in the short term, what we need to do is we need to go through a better process of vetting folks who are in the training pipeline today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you talk about this individual who pulled the trigger, and you look at, you know, the fact that he had gone back home for a while, you couple that with the fact that he had social media presence that was saying some things that were very hateful to America, he should have been flagged. And that's something that should have been run to ground immediately. And I wanted to decouple that from the concept of training itself, because ultimately what we want to make sure is that whenever we have to fight, particularly when we're fighting in alignment with allies, it's better to be fighting with people that you've trained with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you continue to do that training domestically or whether you come up with an offshore alternative is something that rational minds can discuss. But I think at the end of the day, if people are using U.S. equipment, you want to make sure they're able to use that U.S. equipment correctly.
Yeah, I mean, there's people have talked about this kind of a self-serving way. The better they are with the equipment, the less need they may have for United States. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they can fight their, the better they are with that fighter jet, the better they are with that ship, the better they are with something like that, they can maybe hopefully take care of their own issue versus relying on us to do it.
Absolutely, right? And one of the things that we know we are particularly good at is we are particularly good at training people in military functions.
Right.
Right. And so ultimately, if you're being trained by U.S. folks on U.S. equipment, you're absolutely right. They're able to fight better, but they're also better able to train their next generation of people who are going to be coming behind them.
Right.
So the ultimate issue is, how is it that you do that training, either domestically or internationally, in a way that allows proficiency to remain high?
You talked about flagging, and that's one thing I thought about. I guess the command structure, and you can help me with this, the Saudi commander must be, I mean, the buck has to stop with him. He's responsible for those under his...
I would expect that to be the case.
But that's military, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's in Saudi Arabia or the United States, that commanding officer, you know, and I don't know that the Saudis aren't doing it, but they should be. I mean, I want us to be doing the looking into and flagging, but if I'm behind closed doors, which I'm sure has happened, I'm screaming till my eyeballs come out.
Absolutely.
This is on you, man.
Mm-hmm. I think that is perfectly reasonable, given the fact that there is accountability we talk about in command structures. And when one of your sailors or one of your airmen or one of your aviators does something incorrectly, then you should be held accountable for that.
Maybe they were trying to. I don't know. I don't know what they were trying to do, but there is, you know, there have been some other parts of this story that I'm waiting to have corroborated by a secondary source, but
right.
AP ran it, and they said they quoted in a condition of anonymity a high-ranking official with NAS Pensacola. That's the best I have. I don't have any other. So people take it for what it's worth. But that they were quoted in this AP story saying that there was another one of the Saudi aviators that was outside the classroom videoing this shooting.
Right.
And then there were two other Saudi aviators nearby in a vehicle.
Okay.
Now, there may be innocent explanation for all these things, but that if that's true, that's a conspiracy.
Yeah,
that's a widespread. That's not a single lone wolf. That's a conspiracy.
Sure, absolutely. If folks had knowledge of it, and then their actions were reflective of that knowledge, then that's a problem, and that's a problem that needs to be addressed quickly. My reaction to the filming was probably a little different when I first saw the report. The folks in the car standing by, that's a little bit more disturbing, obviously. But I think we're at a point in society right now where as soon as you hear something happening, people pull out phones and they start recording.
Yeah.
Right? But it definitely warrants further investigation, no doubt about it.
And, yeah, I wonder, with this lockdown going on at all the different bases, you know, maybe the silver lining to this, if there could be, that we have a decision here on better vetting, like you said, and better flanking and all that. I would say that I don't want to put these things back into action until somebody at the federal level tells us they've done the due diligence and they've made changes or things to prevent this specific thing that happened here from happening again.
I think so. And the other part, too, and we've actually talked about this a lot, was when I was at that stage of development, like the young man who graduated from the Naval Academy, who was the officer of the deck, we were standing those watches and training commands, and we did not have any ability to protect ourselves. That's another thing that we really need to buy, because this is different than being shipboard.
Yes.
And when we were shipboard, obviously we had arms at our disposal. But that's another part of it that I think needs to be reevaluated.
And it's something that I think caught a lot of people off guard. Civilians went, why didn't they have, you know, I mean, why didn't they have munitions? You know, here comes, and God bless, this Campbell County Sheriff's Office comes
absolutely
in, but you wondered why on a military base there weren't more guns. Coming right back, more with Robert Kennedy Jr. here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And yeah, so somebody asking me about last night's law enforcement beauty pageant. That's what I'm calling it. I will tell you the winners. We've mentioned those earlier, but I'll go back through the winners from last night here in just a little bit. Phone number, text line 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, showers will develop across the Gulf Coast today. Look for temperatures in the upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with showers, lows around 50. And then tomorrow, cloudy and mild with showers and highs in the upper 60s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 1065.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A deputy is recovering after being shot several times Wednesday. Shots were fired just before 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon at a home in Inslee on Limerick Lane, not far from East 9 Mile Road in Pensacola. Sheriff David Morgan called it an ambush. Daniel Hucks called 911 for help complaining of domestic problems. Deputies spotted him in a carport, and Hucks immediately shot at them. The deputy returned fire. Both Hucks and the deputy are in a hospital this morning. Three Mobile County deputies are on paid administrative leave while the sheriff's office investigates Tuesday night shooting on Lot Road. Deputies found 66-year-old Terrence White at his home. They tried talking to him before White shined a flashlight in their eyes and started shooting. Deputies returned fire, killing him. The family of one of the men killed in the mass shooting at NAS Pensacola is calling for changes to policies at the base. Joshua Watson was killed after confronting Saudi native Mohammed Al-Shamrani last Friday. Watson's family believes things might have been different if those on the base were able to be armed. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Welcome to Mobile Bay Coins.
Dave, are you here Christmas shopping? Don't you usually wait until it's a bit closer to Christmas?
Nope, I'm here for a turkey charm for my wife's bracelet and a few other things.
I'll see if one's available, or if not, I'll order you one in. But you got to tell me the story.
Well, my brother and I did a fall turkey hunt, got a couple gobblers, cleaned our birds, came back to Mobile.
Sounds like a great time. So what happened?
Well, the whole family was around the table ready to dig into a beautiful turkey dinner. After the blessing, everybody started eating when all of a sudden Aunt Nancy screams. She broke a tooth and everybody started picking pellets out of their mouth. And then I yelled at Bob for not getting all the shot out of the bird. And he jumps up from the table. I follow outside. Next thing you know, we're wrestling in the front yard. Everybody's watching. That's when the dog made his move to feast on the Thanksgiving bird.
So who are you buying charms for?
Yeah, my mother-in-law, who broke her dentures, Uncle Pete and Aunt Nancy, who both cracked teeth. Both of our wives are angry that we took that fight to the front yard and then had to take the dog to the vet. So I need 4 turkey charms and 1 silver eagle for Uncle Pete.
Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, 2204 Government Street, Mobile. Like us on Facebook or visit mobilebaycoins.com.
When a loved one is having a medical emergency, a few minutes can be the difference between life and death. As hospitals continue to close across Alabama, emergency care may be farther away than you think. That's why insurance profits shouldn't matter more than people. Over 117 million Americans depend on air medical transport during a life or death emergency. But insurance companies are refusing to pay for this life-saving service. Tell Senator Jones to side with patients, not insurance companies. Paid for by Alliance for Access to Critical Care.
At your CBD store in West Mobile, owner Joe Brown does more than just sell CBD. He provides hope. Your CBD store educates and empowers their customers, never just a simple sales transaction. You'll learn how CBD, derived from hemp, works with the CBD your body makes. Purchase your CBD from a company that specializes in only CBD, not cutting hair, selling gasoline, or vaping products. Your CBD store sells only their high-quality, third-party tested products. Get back to being you. At your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest, north of Greelot.
Good morning, everyone. For the Pitsitungs, towing a recovery traffic center still I-10 westbound near Highway 90 as they're still trying to clear up the overnight 18-wheeler fire. A lot of fuel and debris in the roadway. Right lane and exit 15A ramp still blocked off. State Troopers Highway 98 in Chingdary. That's another accident without injuries. CBD America is now open on Old Shell Road behind Metal Mushroom at the USA campus, and they offer all things hemp. You mention this ad, you'll get 15% off all purchases. And don't forget the original CBD America on Highway 43 in Satsuma. See them at CBD America 1. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 1065 traffic.
Right, 821 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Our guest, Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy for Alabama, coming back in the new year. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. I do want to keep it on this Navy thing for a second, and then we can talk about articles of impeachment, because Secretary of the Navy getting fired.
Yes.
Of course, it's preceded the, what I'm calling the terrorist attack at NAS Pensacola. Let's talk about change of guard at the Navy.
Yeah, so this is actually interesting in two different ways. One related to the incident itself, and the other as we continue our conversation on impeachment. So folks have been asking me what my cut was on him being fired, and I think I kind of shocked him a little bit from the standpoint that I was like, he had to be fired, right? There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right. Now listen to this, because you and I have had this conversation. Mm-hmm. Structurally, explain to people why it had to be
so
done.
The reason why is there's a concept. It's called good order and discipline. And one of the things that we do in the military is we follow the chain of command. right? So according to Secretary Esper, if you believe what Secretary Esper said, the reason for the firing was not that there was a disagreement on what needed to happen with the chief petty officer and his maintaining of the Trident. He said the nature of his firing was due to the fact that once an agreement had been made, that the secretary was trying to essentially do a backdoor deal with the White House without having the secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff involved.
And
so
that
essentially
is
he jumped the chain of command.
And that is a, I mean, there's no one who's in the military ignorant of that. That is a no-no.
No. That's day one boot camp 101. Right. And the reason why I kind of put a footnote on that with regards to the conversation we'll have about impeachment was the substance of what the Secretary of the Navy was articulating was spot on. He was in a position that was absolutely correct. And obviously, at the end of the day, the President of the United States as the Commander in Chief of the military can make the call. But the Secretary of the Navy definitely had the moral high ground, if you will, with the arguments that he was making. But once he circumvented the chain of command, he essentially undercut his own credibility with regards to good order and discipline. And so the Secretary of Defense had to fire.
And it, I think it's a good message, because from the person just enlisted to the top of the Navy, that rule, that same rule applies. I think that's a, what they call it, a learning, a teachable moment.
Absolutely.
Up and down the ranks.
I experienced this myself when I was in the military. I had a fairly significant sexual harassment, sexual assault, and rape accusation that happened in one of my units. And I actually reported to my entire chain of command at the same time. Right. And so one of the things that that I had an interesting conversation with my direct supervisor with was about the decision I made to call Naval Criminal Investigative Service subsequent to informing my chain of command. But the reason why I wasn't in that similar situation was nobody could say they didn't know, because it was in print and everybody was informed at the same time.
Right. So the learning, the other teachable moments. So if you could do that semantically, if you tell everybody at the same time, it's
everybody
okay.
Knows where you stand.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about articles of impeachment. If I was a betting man, you know, I think back in September, I said they'll impeach. I don't know if Vegas had given me a line on that or not, but I was not surprised.
They wouldn't have given you odds on that one.
I was not surprised when that happened this week.
So let's go back to what you and I talked about the very first time this conversation came up, and then I'll provide some commentary. So the very first time you and I talked about this, it was immediately after the transcript came out. And the way I described it personally, my views as Robert Kennedy Jr., was inappropriate, not impeachable, right? And then subsequent to that, as we got more information, the nature of the inappropriate started to increase, right? So I think those actions were highly inappropriate, and it was backed up by a number of different things. As it pertains to the two things that were the articles, the abuse of power coupled with the obstruction of Congress. I actually think the obstruction of Congress impeachment article is stronger than the abuse of power one. And the reason why I say that is it is clear that at the point that the president tells his four senior people not to cooperate with Congress at all, not allowing them to testify or give documents, et cetera, he's clearly obstructing Congress's ability to investigate the abuse of power. So it's almost like he put himself in his own box and forced the Congress to go forward with those articles of impeachment.
You know, it's something that I don't know if there is a way to define it. We talk about high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right.
But for regular citizens to know what meets that high crime or misdemeanor. People don't talk like that anymore. It's high crime or misdemeanor, right? Trying to figure out what, and I think there's some ability there to keep it like that, to make it whatever you want it to be, as you use it per case, right? And that's what I would worry about here. I see what you're saying. At the same time, I see the danger going forward of this now becoming a new part. I don't want this to be part of normal political action.
Well, I don't think anybody does, but here's the
problem.
I'm
sure there's some people, but yes.
You know, I was listening to both sides as they were going through their five-minute speeches last night. And one of the Republican representatives talked about people hating the president and hating the 64 million people who voted for the president, just way, way out the box, right? And so to your point, I think that type of rhetoric, given that it's coming from the right on this particular issue, is further fueling the fire of something that we don't want.
Right.
Right? Because we don't want...
Specifically, there are people in this investigation that did say things like that, but is that representative of everybody? I think that's a fair argument to say no, it's not.
Absolutely. And I think that my friends on the Republican side ended up playing this whole situation wrong was when they transitioned from an initial thing, which was using some of the language that I was, which was, hey, there may have been an abuse of power, but the abuse of power may have been a low crime.
Yeah.
So it didn't reach the threshold. And maybe there's an appropriate measure that is censure as opposed to impeachment. It was the fact that it went all the way in the other direction, due primarily to fear of the president, and trying to reinforce the language that it was the perfect phone call and nothing was done wrong. So at that point, now all of a sudden on the other side, the Democrats are swinging in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, I think this whole thing could have been avoided if they just would have come out right off the bat and said, come on over, Mr. President, get your hand slapped. Don't be asking for help when it comes to investigating your political rival.
All right. Let's talk about the timeline on this.
Okay.
Goes to the Senate. My gamble, same thing I said back in September. I think it's just the Senate does not vote for removal. You'd have to have 20 Republicans side with all Democrats.
That's correct.
What's your take? Do you think there's going to be some big defection of Republicans?
I think you and I are the same place where we started this conversation,
yeah.
Right? So he will ultimately be impeached in the House of Representatives. He will be acquitted in the Senate. But there is a nightmare scenario. And the nightmare scenario is, from an election perspective, is that there are three or four Republicans that end up jumping ship, so that you have a majority of the senators that vote for removal. Mm-hmm. However, it's not a threshold, so the action gets removed.
Right.
I think that is a very real possibility, and that creates massive problems for the Republicans up and down the ticket.
Be interesting. I don't think that'll happen. There's a good concrete thing. You think there'll be four or five?
Well, I think you've got a couple.
I think there's two or three.
Well, right off the bat, right? Because you don't know what's going to end up happening with somebody like the senator from Colorado who's in an election.
Or Romney.
Yeah,
or Romney. Okay. Now, the other part of this is, what does this do to Democrat senators that are on the campaign trail for the Democrat nomination for president? I mean, what's this do?
Nothing.
They're stuck in the Senate, you think it affects them at all?
No.
It doesn't give, like, Buttigieg more advantage because he's not having to be there at these Senate hearings? Or
no, my view is that if the recent media reports are correct and the Senate Majority Leader tries to run a trial that's fairly quick, this is probably all wrapped up in the month of January, and then by the time we get through the conventions in late summer, no one's even going to be thinking about it anymore.
All right, just about 30 seconds left. Remind folks, Kennedy for Alabama in the new year.
Yes, Kennedy for Alabama will be coming back at the end of the first week in January. And so we're planning out the second season. We're really excited about it. We'll have some good things to keep you guys all entertained. Well, and so before I leave, I have to shout out all my Navy and Marine Corps brothers and sisters and highly motivational Beat Army for
okay.
the
I was about to say, because our text line's full of the Army people saying Beat Navy. So
Beat Army.
So you think, and then the midshipmen in a bowl game, too.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. It's a good year for us.
All right. Good to see you, man. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely.
Robert Kennedy Jr., our guest, right here on Mobile Mornings. Coming back, Rob Holbert from Landyap joins us.
Judiciary Committee will please come to order, a quorum being present.
Articles of impeachment are being argued against President Trump today in the House Judiciary Committee. A contentious start to the meeting over procedural matters between Chairman Jerry Nadler and Ranking Member Doug Collins.
This time has become the issue.
I've made my ruling in the point of order. Does the gentleman wish to appeal the ruling of the chair?
I would like for the
does
sake
the gentleman
of history.
Wish to
I'd like for the sake of history, does, the chairman take one more
does
minute.
Does the gentleman wish to appeal the ruling of the chair, yes or no?
Yes.
That committee is likely to vote today to send the articles to the full House, which is expected to vote next week. Trump says he's done nothing wrong. The Labor Department said the flat reading in November on its producer price index, which measures inflation pressures before they reach the consumer, followed a sizable 0.4% increase in October. I'm John Trout.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, showers will develop across the Gulf Coast today. Look for temperatures in the upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with showers, lows around 50. And then tomorrow, cloudy and mild with showers and highs in the upper 60s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A woman is in jail after Okaloosa County Sheriff's deputies arrested her in connection to a deadly shooting at Fort Walton Beach last month. Deputies say Carissa Parker shot and killed Edgar Jennings outside an apartment November 19th. Deputies say the pair had a child together. She's been charged with being an accessory after the fact. A Mississippi family thought they were protecting their 8-year-old daughter by installing a Ring surveillance camera in her bedroom. It was supposed to be for her family's eyes only, but someone was able to hack the system and watch the girl. The girl heard someone say, "I'm Santa Claus, don't you want to be my best friend?" The voice then taunted her and encouraged destructive behavior before her parents discovered the hack. Kim Kardashian West is suing a Fairhope doctor claiming he wrongly used her image to promote the so-called vampire facial. West filed a lawsuit against Dr. Charles Runnels on Tuesday. The cosmetic procedure involves drawing the patient's blood, spinning it in a machine, and injecting it back into the face with multiple needles. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO 251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
Talking with my buddy Sid from Sexton Lawn and Landscape, and you've taught us now fall is the time for planting.
Yes, fall is the time for planting here in the South. It's not Boston. It's not New York. Spring is not the best time. It's not a bad time, but fall really is the best time for this part of the country.
For planting what?
Well, trees, shrubs, sod, anything that's growing roots with cooler temperatures, cooler air temperatures, but the soil still stays warm. It's the perfect recipe to grow roots, and that's really what you want to do. When you get a plant from the nursery and you're taking it out of the pot, you want to get roots established quickly, and you want it to get established before the stress of summer, and this really is the best time to give you a big window before July, August, and it gets hot.
So if we're picturing new sod in the yard, a new tree, new bushes in the yard, now's the time to do it. If we want to see them in the spring, plant them now.
That's right. Now's the best time.
All right. Tell us how to get in touch with you.
Well, you can find us online at sextonlandscapes.com, or you can find us on any of our social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
Celebrate the holidays with magic Christmas and lights at Bell & Grath Gardens and Home. With more than 1,100 set pieces and 3 million lights, guaranteed to get you into the holiday spirit. Open nightly 5 to 9 through December 31st. Close Christmas and New Year's days. Tickets at bellandgrath.org.
From the Pitts & Sons Towing and Recovery Traffic Center, far left lane open now, I-10 westbound at exit 15 as they try to move the 18-wheeler that caught fire earlier this morning. Again, emergency vehicles have been there all morning. They had a fuel spill and, again, just a lot of debris, so be careful there. So far, northbound 65 from Chickasaw to Saraland, it's a good ride in. Help the kids at the USA Women's and Children's Hospital have a better Christmas with Kane's Warrior Kids. Drop off a new unwrapped toy at Spring Hill Toyota, Serpents of Bienville, Hobbytown USA, and CBD America. Find out more at caneswarriorkids.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5. Traffic.
It's 8:36 on FM Talk 106.5, and this is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Tis the season to be jolly. Also, the season of upgrades at McConnell. Tell us the great deals you have right now.
Well, that's a great point, Dalton. I think there's probably somebody out there listening that needs to be Santa Claus, maybe for their wife or something, and. You know, sometimes people do a smart thing and get a Christmas vehicle. And we've got a season to upgrade. And Dalton, everybody needs to go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and really going to see some of the biggest, craziest discounts of the year. You don't have to negotiate. And one of my favorite examples is our Yukon. We got over $12,000 off. The biggest discount we've done all year is $10,000. An extra $2,000 or $3,000 could buy Christmas presents for all the kids. And 25% off the little Buick Encore if you want to get the small SUV, 20% off the truck. So, really, Santa Claus has come early, Dalton. And buddy, I tell you, man, these deals are awesome. And we just hope everybody takes advantage of it. We're selling them quickly, and we appreciate, you know, your help getting the word out, man.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right, Dalton, y'all have a great Thursday, buddy.
Mitch McConnell, check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38, and y'all say good morning to our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Hey, man.
Man, long time no here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I missed you last week, and then you were, you know, you've been gone on whatever junkets you've been on.
I was on a junket, you were on a junket. I didn't even get to talk to you last week about seeing a guy trying to carve a piece of roadkill, you know, out there with a saw carving up roadkill.
I was reading through some of your road trip there, and yeah. Did that make you feel proud of Mississippi, or
I was excited about that. Yeah, I was. You know, as a Mississippian, I was excited. Yes, it just shows a resourcefulness of the people.
Well, I mean, this is to me, that's kind of normal behavior. But yeah, it might be shocking to those uninitiated. I mean, what else are you going to carry? I mean, if there's a piece of roadkill and you don't have anything else, I mean,
just, you know, get the Black and Decker out and
get after it.
A piece, you know, get a hunk of it. Yeah.
Let's talk about the new Lanyap out on the streets now. And the cover, Ben Raines on there, holding a piece of wood out of... What's that a piece of?
It is it's one of the planks from the Clotilda. Ben, formerly of the Press Register, he was an environmental reporter there for many years. He has written a very interesting piece for us about his account of finding the Clotilda. And, you know, and also dealing with the fact that he found one that wasn't the Clotilda first, and it's a really interesting story. It's a long story. I'm not going to lie to you. It is a very long piece, but it's a really good piece.
Well, I mean, that's something.
You know, it's like one of these Vanity Fair pieces. It's very long.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to talk about there, because you do have the initial, you know, and I remember going through this with Ben, you know, from the initial find that turned out not to be the Clotilda, to kind of the downtime in between, to that phone call he made to me one day and said, "Holy cow, think we got it." Yeah. And I mean, there's a out there. This is a story that is, as we're doing our Alabamian of the Year for 2019, that's one of the things that's been nominated a couple times, the Clotilda find. So it is a big story for at least down here. I guess it has significance around the state, though. I mean, as the Alabama Historical Commission
around the world, mm-hmm. I think that's really something that Ben's over in Benin right now, going over there to just kind of follow it from that end as well. But I think that's one thing that I've learned over the course of working with him on this, is just the level of national and even international interest in this. And part of the story, really one of the big parts of the story, is, you know, after it was found, sort of the scrapping over who got the rights to it and who found it, and the efforts essentially to sort of bump him out as the mm-hmm. guy who discovered it and put the Smithsonian in as the group that found it.
Yeah, that's in his piece, right?
Yes, it is.
And y'all got to read
very
that.
Very interesting. Yeah, it turns into a really strange battle over, you know, trying to, you know, I guess with the Smithsonian basically just trying to make it look like they came down, they found it, and to reap the benefits of that in terms of they had, you know, a billion hits on one of their previous big investigations like that, and they were looking for that sort of thing again, you know, get a billion hits on their website.
Yeah, it's good. I won't even recap it. I'll let them read it in the new Lanyap, but remember, following along with Ben, the strong-arm tactics that he was telling me, that, you know, once they had the Clotilda find, the people came in basically said, all right, you bumpkins, get out of here. We're the pros are here now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's Alabama Historic Commission that really was the one kind of pushed him out of the way and brought in the Smithsonian. So it's really interesting stuff. It just kind of goes to show you when something like this is found, it's not just this, everybody walks in and says, wow, isn't that great, we found this. People immediately start seeing dollar signs and start seeing things that they can do with it. And in the meantime, you know, Ben's saying, hey, we need to do something for the people of Africatown here. This needs to be part of their history and help them out, you know, and that's, you know, that's the big point for him, I think.
All right. I want to switch gears for a second. Here it is. With some surprise, of course, I live in my lane here. When I saw your column, the new Hello, Is This Election On? You feel that in the Alabama Senate race and more that you're not hearing enough yet about this election?
No, I mean, it's kind of, you know, to me, it seems, you know, driving around town, just talking to people or looking at things. I mean, you just don't see signs everywhere. You don't see a lot of activity. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. And people are just sort of, to me, they're just sort of
you gotta come to the studio.
You
gotta come over here. So,
what do you think about this guy?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, okay, but
y'all are getting it all day long, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, we get it all day long, but I get it. I mean, I've had these conversations before when people say, well, this is what moves the needle with this politician, or this is what people are going to think. I said, you're saying that to me inside a bubble of people
right.
that are very wonky, and we do this stuff all the time.
Right.
I agree and disagree with your take. I mean, there's a segment of the population that's fully vested in this race and talk about it all the time, but there are a lot of people that... They're gonna get interested in this sometime in February.
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of it is usual. To me, it seems like a part of it. A lot of activity is happening north of here. You know that to
for
me,
sure.
Maybe that's different for you. You have a different opinion on that than I do. But
I agree with you there.
It feels like, as usual, most of the campaigning, most of the activity is north of here, and it is not a lot of activity down here.
Well, I also wonder if the national politics has kind of taken the air out of local politics now, with so much divisiveness up in Washington, and really a huge group of Republicans are kind of all in this together now, and it doesn't seem like there's much infighting.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think it's a, you know, Trump looms very, very large over this race, as he does many races, but I think in particular Alabama's is you know, it's really strong because Sessions, of course, and is Trump going to reach down and hit Sessions at some point or not? We don't know. You know, then you also have, I mean, you still have the whole thing of Bradley Byrne at one point basically, you know, saying he's not fit to be the president and he needs to get out, and then now he's the Trumpiest of Trumpers, and so it's an interesting program. I think that you know, you may be right. It is. I think people are kind of either focused on all the stuff going on in Washington or just sick of it.
Yeah, well, I could. Okay, let's argue this, though. There's a battle going on right now for who's going to be in the runoff, right?
And
you think about President Trump's effect. And this is, let me just point out some Alabama history. Well, Alabama, I think, has the highest approval rate of President Trump, even beating West Virginia. Remember Luther Strange, who came in and campaigned for Luther Strange in the special?
Yep.
That was President Trump. State still loves President Trump, but the state voted for Roy Moore in that runoff, right? And then, you know, you look at this situation. Does the president come back in if you have a runoff situation? That could be, I would say, fairly, if there is a runoff, it's going to be one of, there's going to be two of the three, right? It's going to be Sessions, Tuberville, Byrne, or some combination, you know, two of those three.
Yeah.
Does the president even weigh in that situation, seeing as last time, I mean, the Senate Leadership Fund poured money in here last time in the special, the president came in here, and they didn't get what they wanted. Even though the state loves Trump.
I think trying to guess what President Trump is going to do is an exercise of futility. I don't have any clue what he may or may not do. Nothing, conventional wisdom doesn't really apply most of the time. I tend to feel like if Sessions is looking like he's going to do something, I feel like, you know, if Sessions is in the runoff, I just have a feeling it's going to be too difficult for Trump not to try to hammer him.
Yeah, but I think this idea that Alabama voters are two-dimensional, and I'm sure you can go man on the street interview that'll, you know, confirm a bias there, but I think when you get into the heart of a lot of people, there are people who can have high approval rates for the president, for President Trump. They're big fans of President Trump, but they can also, in this case, well, they like this person or that person. They could. I don't think this idea that everybody's a character out of a movie.
I've made the exact same points before that you are, that, you know, this whole, if that were the case, Luther Strange would be the Senate.
Right.
You know, to be in the Senate. But I do think that the big problem for Sessions is if Trump does hammer him, Sessions has he's not fighting back. He can't say anything back, and it looks weak. It looks terrible for him. I have not had a single person walk up to me and say, "Man, I think Sessions' strategy is real smart." Everybody walks up and says, "God, he looks weak. He looks really weak." You know, just to say, I'll take whatever the president dishes out on me. I think it looks bad for him. I think Tuberville is in the best position out of the three. In that regard, except for the fact that I don't think that
he can't raise money right now, and even in the Alpha poll that came out, the Alpha group that endorsed Tuberville, their poll, he's still losing to Sessions in that poll.
No, I still think he's got a lot of opportunity there to really break out, though. Once people really start focusing in, I do think he's got a lot of opportunity to be in the runoff, and when it's going to be. It's just the two of them. I think he's got a lot to offer.
All right.
Well, the Senate majority, I know that, he's not very welcomed by the Republicans in the Senate. I don't think they really are dying to have him up there.
Hey, we got to run to the break. Can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay, coming right back. More with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. If it got into that runoff situation between those two, I just think back, the allegory about the old bull and the young bull. I don't know it either. I'm just coming up with things.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, showers will develop across the Gulf Coast today. Look for temperatures in the upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with showers, lows around 50. And then tomorrow, cloudy and mild with showers and highs in the upper 60s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A deputy is recovering after being shot several times Wednesday. Shots were fired just before 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon at a home in Inslee on Limerick Lane, not far from East 9 Mile Road in Pensacola. Sheriff David Morgan called it an ambush. Daniel Hucks called 911 for help complaining of domestic problems. Deputies spotted him in a carport, and Hucks immediately shot at them. The deputy returned fire. Both Hucks and the deputy are in a hospital this morning. Three Mobile County deputies are on paid administrative leave while the sheriff's office investigates Tuesday night shooting on Lot Road. Deputies found 66-year-old Terrence White at his home. They tried talking to him before White shined a flashlight in their eyes and started shooting. Deputies returned fire, killing him. The family of one of the men killed in the mass shooting at NAS Pensacola is calling for changes to policies at the base. Joshua Watson was killed after confronting Saudi native Mohammed al-Shamrani last Friday. Watson's family believes things might have been different if those on the base were able to be armed. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
When it comes to my business, access and control of information is critical.
I need a partner I can trust 24/7. CSpire Business was the easy choice.
Their IT experts have the experience and insight we need.
Connectivity, cloud, cybersecurity. CSpire worked with us to find the best technologies for our unique needs.
Having a top IT team isn't optional anymore.
CSpire has my back now and into the future.
Insight, experience, your IT partner. CSpire Business, customer inspired.
No matter the occasion, at Honey Baked Ham Mobile, they've got you covered. They've got the gift you're tempted to give yourself, a Honey Baked Ham gift card. And if you can't decide what to give this year, let that lucky someone decide. Everyone on your shopping list can choose something for themselves. From their famous hams to delicious side dishes, desserts, and more, they are your gift headquarters this Christmas. Extended holiday hours the week before Christmas for your last-minute shopping convenience. Honey Baked Ham, 3851 Airport Boulevard, 343-3100.
Be an explorer. Awaken your sleeping adventurer. Go where pirate ships remain, sea creatures reign, and you are but a free-floating guest. Become one with an endless sea. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver. Gulf Coast Divers has the instruction and equipment that you need to unlock the wonders of the underwater world. Gulf Coast Divers, certifying the best trained divers on the coast for over 40 years.
Break the surface for a new adventure. Let Gulf Coast Divers help you become a diver. New experiences, lasting memories. You always wanted to try it. Isn't it time? Be a diver with Gulf Coast Divers. They have instructors, equipment, and guidance you need to unlock the wonders of the underwater world. Take your first plunge underwater for just $27. Gulf Coast Divers, certifying the best trained divers on the coast for over 40 years.
Hi, I'm Alec Naaman with Naaman's Catering, and we are the party planning business. So if you're planning a wedding, corporate event, or just a good old backyard social, call Naaman's Catering at 473-3900. Our professional event planners have many years' experience to make your event one to remember. So call Naaman's today at 473-3900. Look us up on the web at naamanscatering.com and let Naaman's Catering take care of all the details. Attention to detail is our specialty. God bless you, and go Jags!
Feel at home with First South Farm Credit in Bay Minette. For all your distinctive loan needs, whether you're looking to buy land, country home, or farm, a simple loan process for you. Let a First South Farm Credit experienced loan officer put 100 years of experience in supporting rural communities and agriculture to work for you. Financing land, farms, and dreams. First South Farm Credit, 209 East 2nd Street in Bay Minette, your land and ag lending experts.
From the Pitts & Sons Towing and Recovery Traffic Center, wrapping up the action at I-10 eastbound at exit 13 right off of Theodore Dawes Road. Good ride so far for the 1065 split heading northbound all the way up towards Chickasaw and Saraland. And again, we've got a high wind advisory till noon, so hang on to the wheel across the bayway. They're not letting Mobile weather rain out Elfapalooza this Friday. Instead, they're turning it into Palooza Elf Crawl all over Loda. There'll be free crafts at Mobile Arts Council for kids, free karaoke at the bandstand at Bienville, and more. Call 208-1550 for all the details. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Right, 8:53 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. And remember, Alabamian of the Year 2019, the nomination phase is on now. And I guess the best way to describe it is, we have to do this every year, but fairly enough, it's not a beauty pageant. It's not like your favorite. It could be a good person or a good thing. I don't want to say it can't be good, but it's the person, place, thing, critter, event, group, or whatever that has most influenced Alabama in 2019.
I wish we could add food to the list, but I'm not sure any food.
That's a thing.
But yeah, you're right. But there's been no food that has really altered the course of history this year.
Somebody, before they type it, somebody's going to say the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
That'll be in the list. Also, you could eat squirrel, but maybe not the meth squirrel.
That's, I don't know what kind of reaction nominated you would have from the meth squirrel. Hey, get right back to our buddy Rob Holbert from Landyap. But heads up here, segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. The holidays are here. This year, give yourself the gift of extra money in your pocket and pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Roll your high-interest credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate, and Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. You could save thousands in interest, and there are no fees. No application fee, no origination fee, no transaction fee, no prepayment penalties. And just for y'all, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. LightStream.com/Sullivan. SULLIVAN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, Rob, cover of the new Landyap has got Ben Raines on it and this tome about the Clotilda find, but the baseball reporting on the Hank y'all been doing has been fantastic, man.
Thank you. Yeah, and that was a strange one. That was one we kind of looked like it was shaping up to be a real division and a real battle, and all of a sudden the city council just came in this week and unanimously approved MSEG to take over Hank, take over the Hank for the next couple of years.
So what's the deal? They voted.
That was a surprise. That was very surprising.
Yeah, I mean the fact that it was going to the unanimous. When Dalton read that yesterday in sports, I sat and stared at him like he had a horn grown out of his head.
Right.
Said unanimous city council. It can be done.
Yeah, it can. Well, it was, and the thing about it is, it was looking very divided. There was a group with Tim Bennett out of Biloxi, and he's done stuff with in Jackson and Biloxi, the teams that they had a. They had what I thought also was a very good proposal. And, we basically had three council people who wanted that proposal and four who wanted the other. But then I guess things happened behind the scenes, I guess, that made it clear. And I think there was some worry about whether this Atlantic League team that Bennett would bring in would actually meet the requirements necessary to keep Hank from being scrapped, basically.
Well, that's one of the things that troubles me, and I don't have the document in front of me, Rob, but I stuck in my head is there had to be double A or equivalent baseball being played at the facility.
Right.
Am I wrong on that?
It says that, but I think there's also some, you know, the thing is still under contract for two more years too. So, you know, they're taking over this lease, and I think there's opportunities to just, you know, keep it rolling at this point. I don't know that this is a long-term plan. I still think what we're going to see eventually is the city, I mean, and when I say eventually, I say, you know, this may be 10 years down the road, but the city eventually try to make the case that a baseball field downtown would be a better idea. You can get into the whole discussion about whether this, you know, how do you prove that? We've already failed here. Wouldn't putting a baseball team there and proving a baseball team could work at Hank at least make that a better prospect than just doing other things out here and then eventually saying that. But, you know, I think when you look at it down the line, if they have a kind of new residential in the downtown area, these things fill up, the apartments and the condos are being built fill up, and there's a walkability issue of all the people who could be near it, then you're probably going to get that argument made eventually.
All right, Rob, we appreciate it. And remind folks, too, Lanyap, they can get online and get that subscription.
Get that subscription. It's actually, right now, it's 25% off for Christmas. So, you know, it's even cheaper than 21 cents a day. My math is kind of weak, but I think that's maybe 6 cents less a day even.
Cha-ching.
You know, I mean, think about what you could do with that extra 6 cents.
That's what I'm going to do. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Rob.